Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Science Debating and Creationism podcast. Same genes, same designer. And here are your random facts delivered by an overenthusiastic guy with a terrible accent.
Hi, my name is Detlef Schmidt, and here are your random facts for today. Every second, over 7,000 Coca-Cola products are consumed. A woodpecker can peck 20 times a second.
Okay, welcome back to episode 6 of the Science Debating and Creationism podcast. My name is Yannick Miller, and you can email me at yannick.miller@gmail.com. Yannick is spelled Y-A-N-N-I-C. In this episode, we're going to take a look at the same gene, same designer argument that deals a little bit with the interview of last episode with Zachary Moore. He pointed out the strong evidence for evolution on the molecular level of DNA and how this ties in with evolutionary theory and how we can prove evolution simply by using molecular evidence. In this week, we'll refute a common argument used by creationists, which goes as follows. The reason why human DNA and chimp DNA, for example, is so similar, like 98% exactly the same, is because God used the same genes to provide the same function. So he used the same gene for hair, because we humans and chimps both have hair, and he used the same genes to give two arms and two legs, and because humans and chimps are very similar creatures, God might have used the same genes to provide the same functions. So this way, they're trying to refute the evidence of common ancestry that similar DNA implies. Basically, they're just saying that the similar DNA could also arise by God using the same genes and not only by common ancestry. But there's a lot more to the molecular evidence of evolution than just, oh, our DNA is similar. And a particular way that really ties into this argument I want to discuss today, which deals with DNA with the redundancy of nucleotide sequence on DNA. So let me give a short introduction on what DNA is and how it works. DNA is basically a large molecule found in every single one of our cells. It provides all the information to build you, or me, in your case or in my case, and it's basically, there are two chains of each. There's a phosphor group, and then a sugar, and then a phosphor group, and then a sugar. Those make two chains, and combining the chains, holding them together, are the so-called nucleotides. There are four basic nucleotides, which are described by the letters A, C, G, and T. And the sequence of those nucleotides is the information. This is like a language. So it goes like A, C, G, G, T, A, T, and so on. Always three of those nucleotides are grouped in a group called a codon. And every codon gives rise, in the end, to a so-called amino acid. The amino acids then are assembled together and they wrap up in a so-called protein. And the protein is the final product of this so-called DNA biosynthesis, or protein biosynthesis, sorry. So, short recap, there's DNA, it has a language on it, the sequence of nucleotides. Always three nucleotides, a so-called codon, give rise to an amino acid. The amino acids of all the codons of a gene is a section on the DNA, are then assembled to a protein, which is the final product. So in our body, there are 22 different amino acids. And whoever knows a little bit about combinatorics knows that if you have four different letters and three different spots in a codon, you can get 64 different combinations of letters, like GAT, CCA, CAT, and so on. So there are multiple codons, different codons corresponding to the same amino acid. Meaning, like, it's like in the English language where you can write dog D-O-G or dog D-A-W-W-G, and it gives you basically the same word. It's a dog. One is just not really spelled correctly, but the function is the same. If you talk to someone, it doesn't matter how you would write it, they understand you. So you arrive at the same amino acid by different ways. So when we now compare these things across different species, we find that humans and chimps produce from the same genes, that they have this vastly the same genes, produce the same proteins. That goes hand in hand with the same gene, same designer argument that our DNA is similar because we need the same proteins to perform the same functions. But the matter of fact is the way these proteins are assembled from amino acids can theoretically vary. You can get the same amino acid sequence with a vast variety of combinations of nucleotides. As I said, there are many ways at arriving a specific amino acid, since there is only 22 different amino acids and 46 different codons. So if we compare human and chimp DNA, and if we infer the same gene, same designer argument, there is absolutely no reason whatsoever for God to always use the same way to arrive at the same amino acid in chimps and in humans. Even if he changes it in the right way, he still gets the same amino acid. He can do one thing in chimps, and he can do the other thing in humans. Like he can... A chimp can say dog with a W, and a human can say dog with a O. And it absolutely doesn't matter how they write it. So God could use very different stretches of DNA to arrive at the same function. Or, and he could always use the same. So he could use the exact same in humans and in chimps and in bees and in bacteria, and in everything that uses the same proteins, he could use exactly the same sequence. Why would he, if he has one, why would he make another one for the exact same function? I mean, I'm lazy. I know how comfortable it is not to work too much. So what we actually find when we compare DNA across different species and across different forms of life is that the differences in those spots where it doesn't matter. You know, for the word dog, it matters when you change the first or the last letter. But whether you write an O in the middle or a AW for the outcome, that doesn't matter. And in these spots where it absolutely doesn't matter, when we compare the differences and the matches in these spots, and we line them up in the way that Zachary Moore did last time with the viruses. If we line those up, we get exactly the same tree of life that we already got from fossil evidence and from all the other molecular evidence. The thing is, this is absolute proof of common ancestry and of the relatedness of different species. In the differences in those spots where it doesn't matter, we can clearly see what's more related, what's less related. And if we all were created by a god, and if he created all living things in their present forms and all species separately, then there is absolutely not a single reason for these spots to show exactly the pattern that we would expect if evolution is true. The same gene, same designer argument just doesn't take into account the spots where it absolutely does not matter what the DNA sequence is and you still get the same function. I know this is a bit hard to explain in the heat of an argument that you have with that you might have with a creationist, but just be aware that there is a very lot more to molecular evidence for evolution than just we have 98% of DNA in common with a chimp. Okay, that was it for this week's episode. I've decided for this podcast to be a little different in the future, that meaning that for the episodes not to get too long, I'll try to keep them short in the way that I might cut out sections. Like this week, I left out the debating sections. And in the future, I might do a whole episode on debating, because I find these topics very interesting, and it's sometimes hard to compress everything you want to say in 5 minutes so you have time for the science part and the creationist argument part. So in the future, this will be a little more liberal, and I hope to have many guests. I don't know yet, but I hope we'll have a great time, and many people are going to end up with a better knowledge of science, of debating, and of creationism. So much for this week. Thank you for listening.